And so that's where this passage goes. It's kind of really boring when you first read it, but it's important. It's important because Judah is wired into the messianic superstructure of the Bible, if I could put it that way. And this verse 10 that says, some of your Bibles will say, the scepter will not depart from Judah. Now that word scepter is also the same word used for tribe. That could be translated to say that the tribal distinction of Judah will not go away until we know who the Messiah is. Either way, it's still saying the same thing. The ruler's staff will not leave between the feet of Judah. And this is a picture of him sitting on a king's throne with a ruler's scepter between his feet until it comes, some will say, to Shiloh. Shiloh is simply the Hebrew masculine possessive word, and it literally means to whom it belongs. And so it's probably a better thing to say to whom it belongs rather than giving it a name, because, and here's where we get into other people who are reading the same scripture, the prophet Ezekiel again, hundreds of years later, has got the Torah out. He's got the Torah scroll, and he reads this verse. And he says in chapter 2, verse 27, Ezekiel, the crown will not be restored until he to whom it rightfully belongs shall come. To him I will give it, says the Lord. Shiloh. To him whom it belongs. And so this picture is going forward in time. And they're looking for this person. So I made you a little chart today, just what you always never wanted, I'm sure. If you'll look at the life application questions, you know, those questions that many of you ignore every week. But if you want to apply this to your life in any way, as God would have you do, I would recommend that you look at these. Some of the small groups use them to further study the passage that we talk about on Sunday morning. But down below it, I've laid out for you what I call the messianic superstructure of just the law. Now, this is not the whole Old Testament. We're not even getting into the books of the prophets yet. And this is just in the writing of Moses. So the law, the messianic message comes to the snake in the garden. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. These are all out of poetic sections except for the last one. So encounter poetry in the book of the law. Very often you're in a messianic hotspot. It's kind of like going along in the rock world and you find quartz and all of a sudden you find a vein in there and minerals show up. You find the gold, you find the mother lode. To Abraham, he says, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That is the capstone. That is the artesian well out of which flows the blessings of God to all the earth through Abraham. And Jesus is the ultimate blessing of Abraham. Then to Judah, which we've just read, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. It's not just anybody who commands the obedience of the nations, and the Lord Jesus is that person he's talking about. And then finally, in the book of Numbers, moving forward, he speaks to the nation of Israel. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter, just like the one Judah is holding, a scepter will rise out of Israel. And then, in the book of Deuteronomy, my fellow Israelites, Moses says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. And that's why they were asking John the Baptist and Jesus, are you the prophet? Because they were still looking for him. And you know that by the end of the book, Deuteronomy 34:10, which is written to the reader of the law, which would be us now, since then, since the time of Moses, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses. Okay? So it's left hanging there. We're still looking. And when you get to the New Testament, we finally meet the person to whom it has come because it belongs to him, Jesus the Messiah. Well, this is all a little bit of a tangle to some of you, I expect. Let me answer the question, why do I talk about this Bible stuff so much? David Brooks wrote a book called The Social Animal, and he talks about how chess players look at a chess board that has pieces on it. And he says that a series of highly skilled players and a series of non-players or mediocre players were shown a series of chess boards with pieces on it for about 5 or 10 seconds each. And later on, the grand masters that had looked at those boards could remember every piece on the board. The average players could only remember about 4 or 5 pieces per board. And so he asked, why is that? He says, the grand chess masters don't have superior IQs or better memories, but he says the real reason that the grand masters could remember the game boards so well is that after so many years of study, they saw the boards in a different way. When average players saw the board, they saw a group of individual pieces. When the masters saw the boards, they saw formations. Instead of seeing a bunch of letters on a page, they saw words, paragraphs, and stories, as it were. And expertise is about forming internal connections so that the little pieces of information turn into bigger networked chunks of information. Learning is not merely about accumulating facts. It's internalizing the relationship between the pieces of information. And that is exactly true of us. As we study God's Word, as we walk through this life with Him. If we just check in every once in a while and just get a little bit of this or a little bit of that, we're not going to know what we're looking at most of the time. And the question is, for all of us, what will you be master of in your life? Are you good at what you do for a living? How about the way you raise your kids? Are you a master parenter? Nobody knows anything about parenting when they're starting. But the learning curve goes quickly upward when we hear the first howls from these little ones. Are you a master of fantasy football? Oh, good for you. May I recommend you spend your time on something a bit more productive and useful? Start with the Scripture. When you begin to get your arms around God's Word, and not just learning facts and taking up data, but when you really begin to see what God's doing, what He's trying to do, you begin to see all around you what God's doing in all kinds of ways. And so you ask the question of yourself, who am I? What did I want to be? What did I think I should be? Like the guy in the bus, he's a football guy, and he's big like a football guy. I bet he was big enough to play college ball, and maybe he did, but I'm sure there was a point in his life when he thought, I could be a contender. I could be in the NFL. But you know what? On the day when he saw that girl on the bridge, he just had to be who he was. I'm a bus driver, and I just happen to be driving this bus and just happen to be here thanks to God. And he praised God for that. Yeah, if you read the article further, he gave credit to the Lord for putting him in that place at that time and for helping him to know what to do at that time. Are you ready to help the girl on the bridge? Are things going to come at you and you're going to go, huh, wonder what I should do? Because if you watch the video at the beginning, you see somebody rides by that girl on a bicycle. People walk by her. Huh. Wonder if she's going to jump. I don't want to see this. He saw it and he just knew what was happening. He knew what to do. Are you ready to do that? Have you practiced in your life what you need to do on that day? Are you becoming a master of walking with Jesus? Can you see the bigger picture? I mean, these guys in this book, they're in their 60s and 70s now that they're talking about. Joseph, maybe getting on to 50. Yeah, he's in his 50s. They were not famous guys. They were not in a great situation. They're migrants, like those people in the picture. I mean, they're doing okay. They got enough to eat, but they wouldn't have had anything to eat if they hadn't made this trip. They hadn't made their immigration. They did not know what it all meant. They knew who these brothers of theirs were. Joseph knew who they were. We're going to talk about that last week in our last message in this series. They weren't famous in their own life. But Jacob, by saying all this, by prophesying this, he was starting to see the far horizon. And so he tells them what their life has meant and what it means into the future. Some of them have a future. And so what is your role? What is my role? Well, I need to study it. I need to figure it out. We're having a parenting class on the 18th of March. It's got a sign-up sheet out there. Be part of that. If that's something that you can benefit from. Even if you think you might have goofed up your own kids and you're thinking about your grandkids, come in here. We've got a couple of great counselors. Fritz Maurer is going to be there, and our own Daniel Gallant, who plays the drums for us, who mentored with Fritz, is going to be there, and they're going to be talking about the whole business of getting your household from chaos to completion, to competence and everything else. This coming Saturday night, we're going to meet out here in the cafe about 5 o'clock with some international students from next door that we have not met before, and some people from Woodstock Academy will be there. We need some of you guys who are in high school to help us with that, because one thing I know about high school kids, they're really not looking forward to the opportunity to talk to me. We need some younger faces. We need some help. So think about that if you would. And pray for that. That's just, it's a breaking the ice. Hi, how you doing? You live next door to us. We don't know why God has put you in our life and vice versa. So we want to be to them whatever God will have us be. Iron Sharpens Iron is happening on the same day as the parenting class. If you just need to know what do I do as a guy, be part of that. Sign up for that. There's a whole lot of things. Ways to get started. Connecting the dots, bringing these pieces of information into coherent pieces that will make sense in your life. Then the Lord will begin to do his work in you. And you may not know what it all means in your lifetime, just like these guys didn't know what it meant. I mean, Judah was a guy who ran a sheep herding business. And he died in Egypt, and his bones are in Egypt to this day. That's what he knew. That's what it came to. But his dad knew, and he rose up to the call. He rose up to answer the question, will you help your brother Joseph? And will you do the right thing? And he said yes, because God had been preparing his heart. What's God been preparing you to do? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for calling us and letting us be in our real world. It would be so easy if you gave us some bright shining light from heaven and an angel messenger to come and tell us exactly what to do, but you don't. You put your Holy Spirit in us. You give us your word. You give us one another. And you tell us to be my people. Be my children in this world. Teach one another how to do it. Walk with me. Let my son wash your sins away. Let my spirit empower you. All these things that you want to do in us. So today we ask that you would cause us to be the one of however many in our family the one of however many in our group that says, I'm going to do the right thing, even when everybody else wants to just sit on their hands and hope this all goes away, or wants to just be selfish or just do the wrong thing. I'm going to do God's thing. Make us different than the world, Lord. We ask it for the sake of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Would you all please stand with me?